Good morning. Just a couple of guide rules for everybody that's participating in this conference. Since we're remote, we'll need you to either state your first and last name, and if you're a commissioner on the P&Z, or if you're representing an item, we'll need you to state your first and last name and the address, your home address. If you're calling in by telephone, you can press *6 to unmute your line. We're going to try to ask everybody to keep their lines muted during this time, just so that we don't get any feedback. If you're called in by both telephone and audio, we ask that you mute the audio on your phone. Otherwise, you're going to get some feedback during that. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Chairman Larry Robinson.
Good morning, everybody. The time is now 10 a.m. Therefore, I call to order the teleconference meeting of the Harker Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for April 29th, 2020. For those citizens listening over the telephone, please refrain from commenting until called upon to do so during the public comment periods. For the commissioners present, please state your name for the record each time you speak. The P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with city staff, owners, developers, and agents and residents to provide the City Council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the City Council for decision. Secretary will note at this time who is present and who is not. I'm going to do a roll call here right now. I'm going to do a roll call right now. If you could state your name and that you are present. Rob Robinson.
Present.
Noel Webster.
Present.
Rodney Schein. Come back to him. Joshua McCann. Stephen Watford.
I'm present.
State your name, sir.
Stephen Watford.
Thank you. Joshua McCann. Rodney Schein.
Present.
Okay, if you state your name, sir.
Rodney Schein, present.
Thank you, sir. Joshua McCann.
Joshua McCann, present.
Thank you. All right, I have Adam Parker, Jan Anderson, and Kay Carey not present. They are absent. Thank you all very much. Okay, we do have a quorum here, and we're going to get this show on the road. Okay, the first order of business is approval of the minutes from the regular meeting held on January the 8th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
Rodney Schein, Commissioner, so moved.
Paul Webster, second.
I'm sorry, the second? Who was the second?
Noel Webster.
All right, thank you, sir. Okay, do we have any discussion? All right. And we're going to vote on this now. All in favor, please state your name and let me know you're voting for this.
Commissioner Webster, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Noel Webster, yes.
Commissioner Schein, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Rodney Schein, four.
Commissioner McCann, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Joshua McCann, four.
Commissioner Watford, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Stephen Watford, four.
Vice Chairman Robinson, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Rob Robinson, four.
Chairman Robeson, can you state your first and last name and your vote?
Larry Robinson, yes.
So it passes 6-0.
Correct. Okay. All right, next item is going to be report on City Council actions resulting from the January 14th 2020 meeting. Mr. Molis for the city.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joseph Molis, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. You'll hear that a lot because I'll have to repeat myself every time I speak. The last time we had a P&Z meeting was in the beginning of January, and as you recall, we had three cases go before you that it moved on to the City Council on January 14th. The first one, Z2002, was to discuss a rezone from R1 to R2 on property at the intersection of Aztec Trace and Yuma Trail. You recommended approval 8-0, and the City Council approved it 4-0. Next was Z2001, which was a conditional use permit, was a modification of the conditional use permit for the Tap Tap Art School on 103 Mountain Lion Road. As you recall, this was to give them the ability to build an expansion to their structure. You recommended approval 8-0, and the council approved it 4-0. Finally, there was Z2003, which was another rezone request from R1 to RMU, mixed-use residential on 106 West Cathy Road. The applicant wanted to put a manufactured home. The P&Z actually recommended denial 2-6, and the council made a motion and approved denial 3-1. So that rezone did fail. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. All right. Next is going to be recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest. Mr. Mullis.
We've received none.
Very good. Next item will be citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens who wish to speak at this time? All right, we're going to go and jump into public hearings under agenda item 6. Our public hearings, our first case is Z20-06. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance granting a conditional use permit, CUP, to allow a four-story hotel not to exceed 60 feet in height within a B4 zoning district on property described as 2.200-acre tract of land in Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, being all of Lot 7 and part of Lot 3, Block 1, ACTG Edition, being a replat of Lot 2, Block 1, Union State Bank Edition, Phase 3 is recorded in Cabinet D, Slide 200-D, generally located behind 335 East Knights Way, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Molis for the city.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Joseph Molis, Planning Director for the City of Harker Heights. We're on slide number 8, and if you'll follow along, you can see that this is an aerial photo where we've highlighted the subject property. The description for it is rather vague, and that's because the property is fronting private streets that have temporary names, the ACGT West, ACGT North, etc. Were names assigned by the GIS when for 911 purposes. But they are private roads. So the applicant, as an aside, will have the ability to rename those roads to something more appropriate. That being said, we're here before you today because the applicant submitted a building permit for a hotel to be placed on that property. We have had dealings with this property owner for almost 10 years discussing the potential for a hotel. And so finally, it's come to fruition where they submitted a building permit that met all the requirements of the overlay district and of the zoning until we discovered that their plans called for a four-story building. And so there's a little bit of background. In the B4 zoning district, buildings can only be 3.5 stories or 45 feet in height. As proposed, the applicant's building is 4 stories and I believe close to 60 feet in height, so it exceeds the requirements of a B4 zoning district. After discussing the issue with the applicants, we determined that the best course of action would be to pursue a conditional use permit. The reason why is because if the other option would be to rezone this property to B5, and staff felt that that would be a little more risky because that would allow any use for a B5 on this property. So let's say the hotel doesn't work out and they back out, the property could now be have a much less intense use, which is right adjacent to a bank, to a city park, city facilities, and a church, and so forth. So we felt that maintaining the B4 zoning would at least keep it at status quo, and therefore asking for a CUP for just increasing the height requirement would be a safer way to address that issue. So that being said, the applicant did agree to pursue a conditional use permit, and so we've moved forward. So on slide 9, You can see the actual site plan for the property. You can see that the that they have, this is what they submitted as part of their permit application, where they've already calculated parking, dumpster locations, landscaping, and so forth. So again, this project has been moving forward until this point. On slide 10, you can see the current site. It is in fact a vacant lot with some vegetation on it. So you can see the sign there indicating the conditional use permit public hearing. Slide 11 shows the situation at hand. You can see again, as a reminder, that the B4 district only allows 3.5 stories of 45 feet, and that the planned elevation that we received from them was 4 stories and 58.6 feet. So you can see that they would exceed the requirements of the zoning district. We did discuss other options with them, like going to 3.5 stories, because there is some topography on that property. It's actually higher up on the west side, and it slopes down as you head east. So there was the potential for maybe redesigning the site so the building was kind of half underground, but that would be it would be fiscally difficult, if not impossible. And if you go back a slide, you can see that their original building placement, has the building on the far east side. So to move it to the far west side would significantly force them to redesign the property, and they would more than likely not be able to meet parking requirements and so forth. So going back to slide, where were we at, 11, you can see again that the CUP would be more than likely the best response to that. The next slide again shows the side elevations, where you can see where they exceed the 45-foot height requirements. But these two slides combined also show you that they do meet the requirements of the overlay district. They do have more than 5 architectural features on all sides. They have changes in material and color and banding, changes in height and so forth. So they are meeting the rest of the code, and they do have the more stringent overlay district requirements placed upon them, which they are meeting in their current configuration. Slide 13 shows a zoom in showing again the height requirements being exceeded. The next slide shows the existing land use. As you can see, that property is vacant and it's adjacent to another vacant property, but it is surrounded by commercial properties that are zoned B4 and B5, but we'll get to that. And then a major city park to the east, being Carl Levin Park. The next slide, slide 14, shows the zoning in the area, and you can see that it's all B4, including the subject property. The city park is zoned R1, but again, that's because city facilities can go into any zoning district. And then that 403 that you see is R1 is a church. And again, that can be zoned, a church can be located in any zoning district. Slide 15 shows the future land use map, and the future land use map shows that site is commercial. So the proposed conditional use permit, which doesn't change the zoning, still fits within the zoning requirements recommended by the future land use map and the 2007 comprehensive plan. The next slide shows a notification map in which we sent notifications to 14 properties within the 400-foot buffer area, and we received one recommendation for approval, no recommendations for denial. The next slide should be the conclusion, so we'll go back up to the notification slide. Staff has again discussed the conditions of the CUP with the applicant, and those conditions being that, one, the property, the use would be a hotel. And if it is a hotel, then it may be 4 stories tall or 60 feet in height. So again, there's a little bit of defense in that, so that if the hotel backs out but the CUP is approved, only another hotel can come in and be 4 stories. If an office building comes in or a hospital or something else, it's got to go back down to the 3.5 stories of 45 feet. So only a hotel would be allowed to be 4 stories. So we talked with the applicant, and this seems like this would be the safest thing, quote unquote safest, for the city to proceed with, where we have some protections about what that property is going to look like. That being said, staff does recommend approval of this CUP, and I would be open to answering any questions you might have. Thank you.
Commissioners, do y'all have any questions for Mr. Mullis?
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir, please.
Hey, Mr. Mullis. Hey, Joe. It looks like it just has one entrance and exit, so I'm assuming that meets the fire code. I just wondered, did they ever think about putting another secondary entrance exit off of the other road there, Miller's Crossing.
Okay, this is Joseph Melise, Director of Planning and Development. If you'll back the slide up back to the schematic, which might be 11. Okay, no, keep going. It's 9. Okay, Commissioner Webster, you can see there are actually 3 approaches to this property. There is the primary street, which was called ACGT West, and they're going to rename it to something more relevant, goes all the way to 2410, so that's the road that goes behind the Popeye's Fried Chicken, the Whataburger, and so forth, and it continues all the way through to Miller's Crossing. So there's a means to enter and exit the property from the east and west. And then the ACTG North Street is in existence now, and it's the road that's between the Whataburger and the Popeye's Fried Chicken. So there's a means of entering and leaving the property to the north to go directly to the feeder road of I-14. So with that in mind, there are some fire code issues, as my recollection, with the way the driveway is configured now, but we've already presented alternatives, and I believe the applicant has address those as we've moved forward with the permitting process, or they know what that is. So we don't have any fire issues as far as entering and leaving the property.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. That's clear.
Okay, commissioners, is there any other commissioners that would like to ask any questions here of Mr. Mullis?
Yes, Rob Robinson.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead, sir. Oh, Rodney Shine, please state your name, please, sir.
Yeah, Rodney Shine, Commissioner.
Go ahead, sir.
My question is about the entrance off of 2410. That road has historically been pretty narrow. The ACGT West. Is there any improvement to that road leading into the property, or is it going to continue with its current width?
Okay, Mr. Shine, this is Joseph Molise, Director of Planning and Development. There is no plan at this time to expand that road. It does meet the fire lane requirements of the city, so there's no parking along it. But yes, it is kind of a tight fit, but it is already striped and treated as a fire lane, and it does meet those requirements.
Thank you.
Commissioner Robinson.
Rob Robinson, Commissioner. The parking, since this is a triangular layout and they want 88 units plus staff, is there enough parking?
Commissioner Robinson, or Vice Chair Robinson, this is Joseph Molise. Yes, there is enough parking. We've already gone through those requirements with the property owner. And in fact, you can see that there are some slight off-site parking on the north side of the property where the road makes that S-curve. There's even parking on the north side. And we've addressed the fact that there needs to be adequate crosswalk markings at a safe location to allow people to cross the street. So yes, those are one of the issues that we identified in the permitting phase that have been addressed by the applicant.
And then Rob Robinson again, just to clarify, how many actual entrances are there from streets into the property?
This is Joseph Molise again. The property has 3 entrances. It has one from the east, which is Miller's Crossing. It has one from the west, which is attaches to 2410, and one to the north, which connects to Central Texas Expressway, which is the feeder road for I-14.
Rob Robinson again. Yes, those are the roads, but how many actually driveway cuts or access into the property itself?
I'm sorry, this is Joseph again. I understand. The property is technically the whole big thing in the yellow area that you're talking about, but what I'm assuming you're meaning is the actual hotel grounds. And from that perspective, there are 2 openings that form kind of a U or horseshoe shape. There's one on the far west side, and then there's one on the east side of the property. So it kind of makes a half circle through the hotel site to go back out to that ACGT West.
Okay, thank you.
This is Chairman Robinson speaking. Is there any other commissioners that would like to ask a question of Joseph? Okay. All right, this time I'm going to go ahead and go back to the... Who's the person representing this property? I believe it's Mr. Patel. Are you there, sir?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, Mr. Patel, if you could state your name and your address, sir.
Sure. Sandy Patel, 398 Rolling Hills Drive, Killeen, Texas, 43.
Very good, sir. Again, this is Chairman Robinson. If you could state your case here to us about your project, sir.
Yeah, we're going to be building a 88-unit Hampton Inn by Hilton. We've been approved in the past for a four-story hotel regarding a Studio 6, Home 2, I'm sorry. So if you can approve this, it would be very helpful.
If this is approved here by us and, of course, the City Council, when would you actually get things going there with the project?
We've already approached the contractors, and, of course, with everything going around, it's been a little slow getting back bids in, but we're looking at probably within 3 months.
Very good. Okay. Did you have anything else to say, Mr. Patel?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right, we may have some questions of you here in a moment, so please stand by. At this time, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this matter? Is there anyone here on the computer, telephone lines that would like to address this matter? This is Chairman Robinson. Okay. Does the applicant have anything else to say? Mr. Patel?
No.
Do you have anything else to say, sir?
No, not right now.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, I'm going to bring it back to commissioners at this time. Commissioners, do y'all have any questions? I take that back. It's time for someone to make a motion. Excuse me.
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir.
I make a motion to recommend an ordinance granting a conditional use permit to allow a four-story hotel not to exceed 60 feet in height with a B4 zoning district on property described as a 2.2-acre tract of land in Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas, being all of Lot 7 and part of Lot 3, Block 1, ACTG Edition, being a replat of Lot 2, Block 1, Union State Bank Edition. Phase 3 is recorded in Cabinet D, Slide 200D, generally located between 335 East Knights Way, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do I have this is Commissioner Robinson again. Do I have a second?
Rodney Schein, Commissioner, second.
Okay, Rodney Schein seconding. Very good. Commissioners, do we have any discussion?
Stephen, this is Stephen Watchers.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is for Mr. Mullis. Has nothing to do with this, but what is the Union State Bank addition in phase two right next to this property?
That's just what that was, because Union State Bank used to own that property some time ago. Is that correct?
Mr. Watford, this is Joseph. That current property is the Raising Cane's. So that's what's sitting on that site right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I'm all for it. Okay.
All right. Okay, commissioners, is there any other discussion at this time, commissioners? Okay. If you could, commissioners, it's time to vote. Are you going to go down the list?
I am.
All right.
Commissioner Webster, please state your first and last name and your vote. For
Noel Webster, for.
Commissioner Rodney Schein, please state your first and last name and give your vote for Z20-06.
Rodney Schein, for.
Commissioner McCann, please state your first and last name and give your vote for Z20-06.
Joshua McCann, vote for.
Commissioner Watford, please give your first and last name and state your vote for Z20-06.
Stephen Watford, for.
Vice Chairman Robinson, please state your first and last name and give your vote for Z20-06.
Rob Robinson, for.
Commissioner Robeson, please state your first and last name and give your vote for Z20-06.
Larry Robinson, yes.
It passes 6-0.
Good. Okay, next item, Z20-07, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change the zoning designation from R1 one-family dwelling district to R1R one-family rural dwelling district on property described as Tract 89, Lakeside Hills, Section 3, a subdivision in Bell County, according to the plat thereof, of record in plat book A, slide 43-D, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and containing 8.02 acres, generally located at 11365 Orland Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis for the city.
Thank you, Chairman Robeson. My name is Joseph Mullis, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. Slide 18 will show the location of the property in question. It is currently a vacant lot at the end of the cul-de-sac of Orland Drive, 11365 Orland Drive, and the applicant is here before you today seeking a recommendation of approval to allow a rezone from R1, which is the standard single-family dwelling district, to R1R, which is the rural single-family dwelling district, for the purposes of building a large accessory structure at the time that they construct their primary residence on the property. So we see this normally happen out on the eastern fringes of the city where there are a lot larger lots in play, and people tend to want larger accessory structures in order to maintain that property. And so that R1R zoning district was created specifically to allow the agricultural or large accessory structure use of these larger properties. The next slide, slide 19, shows a photo of the properties. You can see there is the first signs of development there. They kind of started cutting a driveway through the property so they can start assessing the property and so forth. And it was during the permitting process when the applicant informed us they wanted to build a large accessory structure, and then we informed them of the process for doing that. And the best way to do that would be to rezone the property to R1R. Slide 20 shows existing land use, and as you can see, it is a vacant piece of property surrounded by other vacant pieces of property and single-family residences in this neighborhood. To the immediate south and east of the property is the Corps of Engineer property that's in our ETJ. The next map is the zoning map, and the entire area is zoned R1. However, the property immediately adjacent is zoned R1R, the same zoning district sought by the applicant. So there are other uses of that zoning. If we were to have zoomed out the map, you would have seen on along High Oak that there are several other R1R properties in the area. Again, that zoning district was created with this side of town in mind, and then in the far south as well. The next slide, slide 22, shows the future land use map, and it shows single family residential. So rezoning this property to R1R would maintain the single family residential component and use, and therefore would be in conformance with the 2007 comprehensive plan and the future land use map. The final slide in this part of the presentation shows the notification map where staff sent out five notification letters to the properties within the 400-foot boundary, and we did receive one recommending approval and one recommending denial for this rezoning. That notwithstanding, based on staff's conversations with the applicant, we do recommend approval for the rezoning of this property to R1R based on the fact that it's still in conformance with the future land use map and that the proposed use would likely not have any adverse impacts on adjoining uses given the large size of the properties and the proximity to their neighboring properties. So that being said, once again, staff does recommend approval, and I would certainly be available to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mullis. Hey, commissioners, state your name there if you have any questions here for Mr. Mullis about this property.
Noel Webster.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Mullis, I just have a question. Is when you change it to a rural, does that allow them to have animals on that land, such as horses and cows?
Commissioner Webster, this is Joseph Mullis, Planning Director. As the ordinances now stand, any residential lot in the city of Harker Heights can have livestock. The kicker to this is that you must maintain a 250-foot separation distance between where that livestock is housed and the neighboring residences. So the reality is that most people cannot do that. You couldn't have a horse in the middle of country trails because you have too much density. So the R1R reaffirms that zoning, however, and so we have, as a policy, encouraged property owners that wish to own livestock to rezone to R1R just so that it's kind of, it's on the map, quote unquote, that we know to expect some type of livestock. I have not personally spoken with the applicant, and a representative is here that may answer that question of whether or not they will have livestock, but I can tell you that their current zoning of R1 allows it, and the potential zoning, the requested zoning of R1R would also allow livestock.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, commissioners, is there anyone else here that would have a question for Mr. Mullis? Okay. Who is here representing this request? If you could please state your name and your address. It's a DeBolt.
Three.
I'm sorry?
631. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. If you could start with your name, please, and then the address.
Oh, okay. Hi. My name is Tiffany DeBolt Haas. I am the daughter of the owners of the property. My address is 6317 Pathfinder Drive, Austin, Texas.
Okay. Please tell us about this. Please state your case.
My parents have owned this property since 1980 with the forethought that they would build a retirement home there, and they are coming upon retirement and have decided to move forward with building a house there. And my father would like this rezoning so that he could put a metal building on the property for a shop. And they do not plan to have any livestock.
Okay. The shop, what is the use of the shop gonna be? Is it gonna be like, he's not gonna have a race car shop or anything like that?
Project. It's gonna be for a small project. Working on lawnmowers and things like that. He's a civil engineer, so he just likes to tinker.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, very good. All right, is there anything else you'd like to say, ma'am?
That is it.
All right, well, thank you so much. Please stand by there. We're gonna discuss this matter and go from there. Thank you very much. Okay, is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this matter? Is there anyone in our telephone computer audience that would like to address this matter? Okay. At this point, I would like to ask the person that was against this, are they online now by chance? Obviously not. No. Okay. All right. Again, this is Chairman Robinson talking. Okay. At this point, commissioners, it's back to us. Do I have a motion for this?
This is Rodney Schein, Commissioner.
Sir.
I make a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to change zoning designation from R1 to R1R on property described as Tract 89, Lakeside Hills, Section 3, a subdivision in Bell County, according to the plat thereof of record in plat book A, slide 43-D, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and containing 8.02 acres generally located at 11365 Orland Drive, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Schein. Okay, do I have a second?
I'm Stephen Watford. I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Watford. Okay, commissioners, is there any discussion? Okay, now it's time to vote. Tiffany, we'll get your votes.
Commissioner Webster, please state your first and last name and your vote for Z20-07.
Noel Webster, 4.
Commissioner Schein, please state your first and last name and your vote for Z20-07.
Rodney Schein, 4.
Commissioner McCann, please state your first and last name and your vote for Z20-07.
Joshua McCann, 4.
Commissioner Watford, please state your first and last name and your vote for Z20-07.
Stephen Watford, 4.
Vice Chairman Robinson, Please state your first and last name for your vote for Z20-07.
Rob Robinson, 4.
Chairman Robeson, please state your first and last name for your vote for Z20-07.
Larry Robeson, I am for it.
It passes 6-0.
Okay. All right. Next item is going to be under agenda item 7 is new business. Our case is P20-01, discuss and consider preliminary final plat approval for property described as 1.470 acres of the IT Bean survey, abstract number 115, Bell County, Texas, and being the remainder of that tract of land conveyed to Patrick Curry and Kimberly Curry as recorded instrument number 2016-0003-2581, official records of real property of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 1703 Pueblo Trace, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Chairman Robeson. We're here today to discuss the property on slide 25. As you can see from the aerial photo, it is a property near the intersection of Pima Trail and Pueblo Trace. What you cannot see on this aerial is that the KIC Middle School 14 is immediately to the east of that property and backs into the property in question. So the applicant is here today to discuss plat approval of their property, in which they are seeking to subdivide the property into 9 separate units, which is shown in the next slide. As you can see, they show multiple uses on this property, and it is zoned appropriately for that. They show the potential for 3 duplexes on the lots 1 through 3 on the north, and then R1I, single-family infill dwelling units, along the Pima Trail extension to the south. So a little bit of background on that. We approached the property owner a couple of years ago with the potential to extend Pima Trail through their property so that we could have a western entrance to the new middle school to allow for some traffic to go through there instead of all of it loading on to Warriors Path. And so as part of that, we reached an agreement with the property owner where we would gain access to that property as a right-of-way, and in exchange, we helped with the infrastructure and the platting and so forth for this property. So we're at that phase now. The infrastructure has been put in. Pima Trail is a complete street that is in existence right now. The water and sewer utilities have been extended through that property to connect with the existing network along Pueblo Trace. And so therefore, the applicant is here seeking preliminary slash final plat approval because it's more than 4 lots, so it can't be administrative, yet there's no infrastructure remaining to be put in place because it's all in existence now, with the exception of the sidewalks, but again, that's done by the developer at the time of development. So sidewalks won't be put in along Pima Trail until the construction of the units along Pima Trail. So that being said, we have had comments go back and forth with the applicant as far as the requirements of the code in the subdivision ordinance, and all of our issues have been addressed. So staff does recommend approval of this plat or preliminary slash final plat for this property, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Commissioners, is there any questions for Mr. Mullis?
Noah Webster.
Go ahead, Mr. Whisper.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to ask a question about the school to the east. Is there anything that talks about the fencing along that line there? Is it the responsibility of the school? Is it the responsibility of this division to put fencing in the back?
Commissioner Webster, this is Joseph Melise, Director of Planning and Development. There's nothing in our code of ordinances or in the agreement that governs that in particular, but we happen to know that it is KISD policy to secure their schools. And if you've driven around the city, you will have noticed that they've actually improved the fencing around the perimeters of all of their schools in the city. What we've seen historically is that the school comes in first, and so they put up the fences, and then the developers will come in, and a lot of times the school's fence is a chain link fence. So the developer will come in and put a wooden privacy fence on their side of the property line. And that's, you see that around the high school in particular, since we do have a lot of development around there. So I suspect that's what will happen here, but again, that's not necessarily dictated by the code of ordinances. A fence is not required in our property maintenance code. The only thing that's required is if you have a fence, it has to be properly maintained and intact, but you do not have to have a fence.
Okay, thank you.
And was it Commissioner Watford? Do you have a question, sir?
Yes, sir. This is Stephen Watford. Just looking at, like, on the presentation for 25, you know, is that down there by 1626, look at it from the aerial view, is that for drainage or, you know, where the catch water from going across the road there? And then, you know, how is the drainage in the flood zone?
Okay, Commissioner Watson, Watford, this is Joseph Molise, Planning Director. The drainage for this property actually flows to the east, and that was actually a comment that the Assistant Public Works Director had for them as far as their calculations. And what happened was when the middle school did their platting and permitting, when they did their drainage calculations, they included the drainage coming in from the properties immediately adjacent to them that are upstream. So in other words, everything's flowing from west to east because there's that creek that goes along the northern property line of both this property and the middle school, and everything drains to that creek, goes under Warrior's Path, and continues on to meet with Nolan Creek in Nolanville. So the drainage for this has been calculated as part of the drainage calculations for the middle school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Hey, Commissioners, is there any other questions for Mr. Mullis?
Mr. Shine?
Yes, sir. Mr. Shine, go ahead, sir.
Question for Joseph. This is going to be an artery into the backside of the school. There probably is not normally going to be bus traffic, I'm guessing. But is there any provision for parking along this section of Pima Trail? I noted that there is a football field directly behind the property on the school property. And that leads me to believe that there will be possibility of people accessing back that way to pick up kids after football. There's also a number of residences, multifamily, throughout the area to the immediate west. So how much traffic do we expect to access through that, and will there be any on-street parking in that area?
Commissioner Shine, this is Joseph Molise, Planning Director. That's an excellent question. During our conversations with Killeen Independent School District, there is anticipated to be bus traffic through Pima Trail, and there should also be traffic from parents dropping and picking up students. The last strategy meeting we had with them indicated that they were going to encourage people approaching the middle school from the west to actually come in, and from the south, to come in through Indian Trail to Pima Trail rather than go all the way to Warrior's Path. And that way, what they're looking at is traffic from the north and the east coming in from Warrior's Path and entering the middle school on the east, and traffic from the south and the west entering the middle school from Pima Trail on the west. So that being said, Pima Trail is built to the standards of the city of Harker Heights, and its width actually matches the width, if you look at the photo on slide 26, it matches the width right across the street. And even in that photo, you can see that there are cars parked along the side of the road, and there's still adequate width for traffic flow to go through there. So that was a long answer. The short answer is yes, cars will be allowed to park along that street because it's a standard city street. And if there's issues at some point, the city council can, of course, create a no parking zone, you know, on any street in the city if they deem it necessary. But at this point, we feel that it meets the requirements of city streets. And but yes, we will expect to see cars probably parked along there, especially during pickup and drop off in the mornings and the afternoons. But again, what we're not taking into account is how much internal loading the middle school has. I don't have those plans up in front of me, but there's still a lot of driveway inside the middle school to handle a lot of that capacity as well.
Thank you.
See, our planning director knows how to answer stuff here, I'll tell you that. This is Commissioner Robinson. Okay, is there any other questions here for Mr. Mullis?
Yes.
Noel Webster.
Go ahead, Commissioner Webster, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I was just gonna say in that as well that those being duplexes right there, that I would think most of that is going to be driveway, and it'd be very, I don't think there's going to be much parking right there because of that.
Good point.
Commissioner Webster, this is Joseph Melise, Planning Director. The lots 4 through 9, which are actually fronting Pima Trail, will not be duplexes. Those will be single-family homes. It's lots 1 through 3 on the north side along Pueblo Trace that will be duplexes, and all three of those lots significantly exceed the minimum requirements, or at least the 2 and 3 significantly exceed the minimum requirements for a duplex lot, which means they'll have plenty of room for a driveway and parking on those lots.
Okay, and if that's true, then it may become a problem in the future.
Commissioner Webster, this is Joseph Melise again. You're absolutely right. That's something that we monitor throughout the entire city. We look at things like traffic load, but this is kind of this is new for us. This is the first new school that we've had built in the city in at least 20 years, if not longer. And there's still undeveloped tracks in that area. As you can see, that 1608 is a vacant lot right across the street. So we will expect to see more development in this area, and we will continue to monitor that as a city and as a function of our duties within the public works and the planning departments.
Commissioner Shine?
Go ahead, Commissioner Shine.
This is Rodney Shine. Joseph, could you just give me a real quick reminder of the residential infill requirement versus a standard residential lot? Does that mean they can be a little bit smaller? Is that the key there?
Commissioner Shine, this is Joseph Melise, Planning Director. That's absolutely correct. The primary differences between the R1I, the infill, and the R1 single family is, first of all, there's a locational component. They can only exist on the north side of town and essentially in Comanche land, which is this area. But secondly, yes, it is designed for those smaller lots that were annexed into the city that would not be able to meet our current single family housing. So what you have is a minimum lot size of, in that district, of 3,000 square feet, and the side yard setbacks are reduced from it's 3,500 square feet. Thank you. Ms. Pate, and then the side yard setbacks are reduced from 6 feet to 5 feet, so you've got 10 feet of separation between the units instead of 12. But that's basically it as far as the differences in requirements between those two zoning districts.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, commissioners, is there any other questions for Mr. Mullis? I think commissioner, or nope, all right, good. All right, so no other questions there. I'm gonna, at this time, good job there, Mr. Mullis. I'll tell you what, good job. Who is here representing this request? If you please state your name and your address.
This is Patrick Curry, 6114 Stillwood Drive in Killeen. I'll tell you, Mr. Mullis did a great job of explaining everything. We don't have any further comments at this time. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Is there anyone here on our telephone, computer audience that would like to address this matter? Is there anyone here that would like to address this matter? All right. At this time, commissioners, it's back to us. Do I have a motion?
Rodney Shine, yes.
Okay, Commissioner Shine. Go ahead, sir.
Make a motion to approve a preliminary slash final plat for property described as 1.470 acres of the LT Bean Survey, abstract number 115, Bell County, Texas, and being the remainder of that tract of land conveyed to Patrick Curry and Kimberly Curry as recorded in instrument number 2016-00032581, official records of real property of Bell County, Texas, generally located at 1703 Pueblo Trace, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Shine. Do I have a second?
Joshua McCann, I'll second.
Joshua McCann, thank you, sir. Commissioner McCann. All right, is there any discussion?
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir. Commissioner Webster, please go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is nice. I just recommend that when this starts and that school starts, that the city take a special effort to monitor that situation as closely as possible, just for the safety of the kids that are walking in that area, as well as the traffic flow and people parking on that part of the street.
Very good. I think you're totally right there. Yes, sir. Okay, Commissioner Webster, thank you very much for that. Is there any other discussion? Okay, let's go ahead and vote. Tiffany, if you would do that, please.
Commissioner Webster, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Noel Webster, 4.
Commissioner Schein, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Rodney Schein, 4.
Commissioner McCann, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Joshua McCann, 4.
Commissioner Watford, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Stephen Watford, 4.
Vice Chairman Robinson, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Rob Robinson, 4.
Chairman Robeson, please state your first and last name and your vote for P20-01.
Larry Robinson, 4.
Passes 6-0.
Very good. Okay. All right. I want to thank everybody that called in and computered in or whatever y'all did there to get with this meeting today, and the city staff for putting everything together here. And during the times we're having right now, it's difficult to get a lot of things done. I think the City of Harker Heights staff is going above and beyond to make sure that things keep going on at Harker Heights. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the commissioners that took the time to call in today. We may be doing this for a while, and we're going to discuss here in a moment about times and such on this. Is everyone good with 10 o'clock like this, or is there a different time that works or doesn't work, or what?
Commissioner Schein, no objection to 10 o'clock.
Stephen Walker, no objection.
Okay.
Joshua McCann, 10 o'clock works for me.
Very good. You're up at this time, sir?
Yeah, Noel Webster. Yeah, it's not too bad for me in the summertime. When we get into the fall, it will probably be in competition with my classes that I teach. So I hope it doesn't last that long.
Me too, sir. Very good. All right, so we've got Watford, Schein, McCann, Webster, Commissioner Robinson.
Rob Robinson, 10 o'clock's fine.
Okay. All right, and 10 o'clock is good with me, Larry Robinson.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
This is Joseph Melise, Planning Director. Just as a little bit of a clarification or just a little bit of background, as you're all aware, I'm sure the governor has issued a phased approach to reopening Texas, basically. And so we're attempting to follow that. So City Hall will be open to the public starting Monday, but we are going to be attempting to follow capacity requirements. And at that point, it's 25%. So what's projected is by May 18th, we'll move on to phase two, God willing, and we'll move up to 50% occupancy at that point. However, we have to put public notice in the newspaper for the next city council, next P&Z meeting, which is the 27th of May. We would have to do that before that phase two decision is made, which is why we're more than likely going to keep the same format as we did today. So first of all, I want to thank you all. You did a fantastic job. I want to thank my staff for doing an awesome job at making this run so smoothly. But we'll try again. We were going to do it during the day if possible, just because it seems like that's a little easier, especially with technology and whatnot. But we're hoping that yes, we'll transition back to our regular day and times in the future. We just, again, we can't make that call ahead of the governor's official call. I mean, if he does something before that, obviously we'll adjust accordingly. But that's kind of the plan for now. And we're also actually hoping that by the next meeting, we may actually be able to have commissioners here if they want to be here. We'll practice social distancing and whatnot. But those of you that still want to remain and come in remotely are more than welcome to do so at the next meeting. So that's what we're looking at for the next meeting, so I certainly appreciate your consideration. And for now, we'll keep it at 10 o'clock unless something changes. Thank you.
Mr. Molis and the Chairman Robinson, this is Councilwoman Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, and I just want to kudos to the way that the format was set. You guys did a great job, and I appreciate all your commissioners coming on board and accommodating the situation that we're currently in. I wish you all to be safe. And once again, great meeting. I think one of your best meetings that I've been to. Have a great time and stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, anything else? All right, we're going to adjourn this meeting then at 10:55 a.m. Thank you all very much. Have a good day.
The conference is no longer being recorded.